We don't know if this is going to be the last one. I think it is. I'm done. All we have to do is take the things that we learned and apply them, put them into practice. And let me remind you, since it's been about 4 years since our last study on this, number one, it was Paul's testimony. You all want to share your faith. You want your friends and family to be saved. And so how do I do this? What am I supposed to do? How do I open up my mouth? What are the right words? Give me the right sales techniques. But the first thing has got to be, as when Saul on the road to Damascus met Jesus, he asked two questions. Who are you and what do you want me to do? With the first question, the most important. We have got to know Jesus more than anything. That must be our primary goal in all of this. So often we have such a weak church because we make the primary goal evangelism. Now, yes, that's something that we've got to do, and that's what the church is called to do. But just like the farmer in 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you don't have fruit on the farm, you can't feed anybody. And so we must first know Jesus and love Jesus. If we are to be the light of the world, we have got to be hanging out with him in his light. And so the first thing you and I need to do, if we're thinking like, oh my goodness, I've got to get my family saved. I got to get my friends saved. I've got to, oh, how am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? First thing, get to know Jesus more. Get to know him better between you and him. Secondly, we talked about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit. And as Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, you guys wait here. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And then, once you have the Holy Spirit, you will have the power to be my witnesses. You will have the ability to be my witnesses. And emphasis on be, not go witnessing, but be witnesses. And so, without the Holy Spirit, and tonight, you know, we can pray and ask the Lord once again to refresh us, to baptize us in his Holy Spirit. We need always a fresh filling. Thirdly, we talked about testimony. Work up short versions and long versions of your testimony. It's great if you get somebody in a car and you're on a two-hour trip with them. They can't get out. That's your long version. But short versions, but you cannot argue with a testimony. That's the glory of a testimony. Some of you say, well, I don't know the scriptures. I'm afraid they're going to ask me something tough. Tell them what God did to you. And we learn that from John chapter 9. With the blind guy, right? He goes, look, I don't know anything except I was blind and now I see. And you can't refute that. And so there, it's powerful. So don't be afraid to tell your testimony to somebody. And also, whoa, one more thing with the testimonies. Testimony isn't just about the creep you were before you got saved, then how you met Jesus, and now you're not creep anymore. But testimony keeps going. There are so many testimonies of God coming to us, right? In our walk, last 22, I don't know how long I've been saved anymore. I don't know how long I was married this morning. 22 years. Thank you. And did you figure it out? Awesome. But, you know, 22 years of walking with the Lord, you and I mean, and however long you, whether you walk with the Lord 2 years or 10 years or 20 years or 40 years, you have seen God show up over and over. And I do wish he'd show up on the roof right now. But, and so there, our testimony isn't just about our salvation. It's testimonies of the Lord's provision, testimonies of the Lord's encouragement or his healing or his whatever, because he's working in your life daily. God is always working in your life. So you have a life full of the stories of God's power through your weakness. So that's awesome. So can't argue with that. Fourthly, we talked about prayer. You ain't going to do it without prayer. And prayer is not designed to get God to go your way. Prayer is designed to get us to go God's way. Because he says, if we abide in him and his words abide in us, then whatever we ask, we get. Well, if it's him we're abiding in and his words abide in us, then we're going to be returning to him what he wants us to ask him for. And so you pray for God things, you get God things. Very important that we understand that. And then we talked about open doors. God has given us open doors over and over and over again. And what was really sweet, and it's so, you know, we get these little pushes and then we kind of lose momentum. But the two or three weeks after I taught on the open doors, I heard so many stories from people like, Kevin, God gave me an open door and I walked right through it. And I, you know, and it was awesome to hear the stories of how the Lord gave you opportunity to share something real simple. And that is just share a little bit of your testimony, to share what God had done yesterday. Or just to invite somebody to church. And you know that inviting somebody to church is the easy thing to do. But if you're inviting them to church, make sure that, well, if it's somebody that you know, make sure that they know you as somebody that they'd want to go to church with. You're living a life for the Lord. You are different. And so people are looking at you and they're saying, why are you different? And why do I like you? But if you are creepy and then you invite people to church, they're going to think your church is creepy. So in all your inviting to church, make sure that your walk is straight. That goes back to number one, know Jesus. So open doors. Open doors are everywhere. And so I heard stories and all that, but then after a few weeks, I stopped hearing the stories. Let's not lose momentum. But understand that hey, this is our life. This isn't just, you know, something we're going to really go for the next 3 weeks. You know, they did this thing at some church somewhere that, you know, we're going to do 40 days of gratitude. Why? Why not 365? You see, oh good, I got done with my 40 days of gratitude. Tired of that. You know, I don't have to be grateful anymore. Glory to God. Oh, wait a minute, I got 41 days of gratitude. I thank you, Lord, I don't got to do that anymore. No. And so I think, though, that we can get ourselves into these attitudes of, I'm going to give this a push. And we're going to do this. We're going for it. And then the baggage of life sneaks in, and then we're back to not thinking about the fact that God has us here for a reason. And that reason is not to serve yourself. It's a hard one to remember. But now, and by the way, you've noticed that there are no methods that I've taught. I'm not a big method kind of a guy. But we got to get down to the fact that we will have to open our mouths with the truth. And this is truth beyond the testimony, beyond inviting someone to church, but in talking with people and sharing the scriptures with them. Now, as far as sharing your faith, I personally am not a fan of open air, stand on the corner, megaphone preaching. I have seen little fruit from that. Now, I don't know, maybe there has been fruit from it where somebody heard the words, and even though they ran away or threw a rock, the words themselves sunk in, and we don't know that. But all I know is that it makes Christians look like idiots. Now, the world thinks Christians are idiots anyway. Why act like one to confirm it? Now, yes, John the Baptist came out of the wilderness and he preached, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. I imagine he shouted into the crowds. And I think that that's the idea of like standing on a corner and reading your Bible and all of that. And Jesus as well cried out, repent. And so while I say I'm not a fan of standing on a corner with a megaphone, I'm not saying that that's wrong, but I think it's wrong for me. And I have not seen in this day and age much fruit from it, but only making Christians look like self-righteous, prideful fools. Remember in Acts chapter 1, it says, be my witnesses. Not go witnessing. And I think about Paul, how after he was saved, he went about witnessing everywhere. He was a witness. But notice, just follow him through the book of Acts and notice something very interesting. Where would he go when he'd enter a city? Synagogue. Why? To share Jesus with the Jews. This was an open forum. Synagogue was a place where the Jews would sit around and they discussed the scriptures. And you can go in there and sit down and say, well, gee, I think this and this and this. And so Paul used these opportunities of people who were there to talk about God. He didn't go into the open areas and just shout out. But he found the areas where people were already talking. And so he would share with them and they'd get mad and they'd kick him out. And next thing you know, Gentiles were saying, what's going on? What was going on in there? And then he shared with the Gentiles. And a whole bunch of people get saved. And that's, you read through the book of Acts and you see that. Now, he went into Philippi and he found ladies who were praying by the river. He found people who were looking. He found people who were religious. In Acts chapter 17 in Athens, he found the people, as he looked around and looked at all their gods, you know, he's going, man, this is messed up. But these people love to talk about things. They want to hear something new. They want to, and so he says, you want something new? I'll give you something new. And he shared Jesus with them at the Areopagus. They went up to the Areopagus, and there it was like, okay, we just met Paul. He came into town. He's got some stuff for us. Now share with us, Paul. And he did. But Paul's preaching, even though he got beat up for it, it was never, I don't see it as a rude invasion on somebody's quiet privacy. But he looked for those open doors, and those open doors were usually people who looked like they were interested in hearing something. Turn to John chapter 1. Verse 35. I think this is how it mostly happens. And this is what I want to encourage. Because you see, we're talking about sharing our faith, but I don't want us to be thinking about, okay, now I'm going to go out there and I'm just going to grab strangers. Unless that's your gift, okay? If you have a gift for grabbing a stranger by the neck and sharing Jesus with them, then do it by all means. But the thing is this. We think in those terms and think, well, if I'm not doing that, I'm not sharing my faith, or I've got to do that, or do I have to do that, or all of these things. Hey, look, we have got people around us all the time who have never heard the gospel from our mouths. It's those people that God has called us to share with. The people we know. Check it out. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples and looking at Jesus as he walked, said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. And so there it was. They were hanging with John. John says, there he is, go get him. And they did. And Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, what do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and see. And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. And so you see, Andrew met Jesus, and what did he do? He told his brother. That's it. It's that simple. It's really not complicated. It was just like, hey, I found the Messiah. I found him. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, interesting thing is that people get saved in so many different ways. You see where Andrew introduced Peter to Jesus, but here with Philip, Jesus introduced himself to Philip. Sometimes, I think that's kind of what happened to me. But Jesus saw Philip, said, hey, you, come on. And he did. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and all the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. I like that. That's always funny. But here it is. Philip found his friend Nathanael. And he said, hey, we found him. He's from Nazareth. And Nathanael began to argue with him. Says, yeah, oh, come on. And, you know, Philip says, why don't you just come and see for yourself? You know, and it all looks so very easy. Wouldn't that be great if this is just how it played out for you and me? I got saved and I came home and told my family and they hated me with all their hearts. But wouldn't it be nice if it just played out that way? I came home, hey, I found Jesus. Really? Can I have him too? But unfortunately, it doesn't. Except this is what we've been called to do. And if people had not shared with me and if people had not shared with you, we'd have no hope. So it was in normal, everyday, regular relationships that Jesus was shared. Let's do that. Let's do that with the people that we know. Now, as we share with them, a testimony is one thing, but we got to get right down to the Word of God. Understand that this is about Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins. This is not about God. Put the word God in quotes. You see, when we talk to people, and this is the hardest thing, but when we talk to people, let's not try to soften the message and not use the name of Jesus. Because it is in the name of Jesus, His only name under heaven by which we must be saved. So when you say God, I do it too. I said, hey man, you know, I got God in my life and you could have God in your life. You see, what that does, it takes the bite out of it. And when you say God to anybody in this world, they all have their own idea of what that means. Even though you're saying, I'm going to say God, but really I'm thinking about Jesus and I'm going to get them to Jesus somehow. But I would just kind of schmooze them in there a little bit, get them in there gradually. So I'm just going to say God. Well, for them, God could be their belly button. God could be anything. Themselves. And so when you say, hey, you know what? God loves you. Do you know God? They say, yeah, I do, totally. Let me show him to you. You go in the car and they've got a Twinkie in the car or something. But, and so let us, if you say Jesus, you know, that's a little bit harder for them to recreate. You talk about crucifixion. They're stuck with plain truth at that point. Understand that when we share the gospel, and this is the hard part, this is not about giving somebody a better life. This is about life and death. Oh, sure, you do get a better life out of it. Whew. I have a much better life now than I had before I was saved. But that's not what this is about. This is about eternal life. And Jesus says that he gives life and more abundantly. And for certain, we have life in us that we know. We used to be didn't know God, and now we do. And it's like this life is in there. It's awesome. And no matter what you even go through while you're here, it is an awesome thing. But the reason is because we know that we have been accepted by God, and we know where we're going, and we know this ain't it. This is not what life is made of. And because we know that, we get a better life out of it, even in tribulations. But if you are trying to sell Jesus by telling people they're going to get a better life out of this, you are not doing them a favor. And so let us not tell people about this ambiguous God, but speak of the person of Jesus Christ. Also, remember that this is about life and death and not just about a better life. I think that the reason the church is filled with unbelieving professors of faith, or the church is filled with people who still have all the same issues that people who claim that don't know the Lord are having, still rolling around in the same sins the world is rolling around in, I think the reason this stuff happens is because of bad evangelism. Just say this prayer. You're good. You're set. No. In order to be saved, your heart needs to change, and only God can change it. And so, how is the heart going to be changed except by the preaching of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? We've got to bring people to Jesus and the cross and the empty tomb. This is all about Jesus. And with that, remember that God's word is better than our salesmanship. God's word is better than our word. God's word is living and powerful. And, oh, speaking of powerful, I have PowerPoint. Can you put up the first slide down? Oh, just turn these lights down a little bit so that we can see it better. The reason I did this is so that, that's not very good. The reason I did this is so that we could take notes. You guys, first of all, what's the most important thing is the Word of God. Look at the Word of God says about itself. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Missing the K on there. Nobody caught that. How are we going to instruct people in righteousness except by the Word of God? Hebrews 4:12, this is what I was saying before, the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's why people don't like the Bible. They don't like it at all. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, you don't have to memorize these. I think a lot of these I don't have memorized. A lot of them I do. But I know where they are. in the Bible. Learn where they are. Practice where they are. This is where a little work is going to come in. If we just, we've got to practice knowing where scriptures are. And so if somebody wants to know what salvation is, how to be saved, man, the old Romans road to salvation. Can I have the next one, Dan? There it is. You want to write that down if you don't know it. It begins with the sinfulness of each one of us and how that separates us from God. People need to know that they're separated from God because of their sins. That's the hardest one, isn't it? You say, well, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so you're separated from God because of your sin. They say, hey, wait a minute, everybody sins. Well, right, I just said that. This is, you know, the fact is that sin separates you from God, no matter how you feel. I think that is so hard because I never felt separated from God in my sins. And when a Christian would tell me that I was separated from God, I just thought, you know what, dude, you just don't get it, do you? That was really my attitude. I was blind because I was separated from God. And so, hey, people got to know they're sinners. And now, by the way, you might want to think right now of the way of the master stuff. It's not a bad thing to do. I think it's a good thing to bring people to the law and say, well, let's go through the law. Let's see how you do with that. You say, okay, the first one is you shall have no other gods before me. How are you doing with that? Right? And then, of course, the person you're talking to is guilty. But my problem personally with the way of the master is that it basically just wins an argument and paints somebody into a corner. I'm not sure if, you know, if you're being led by the Spirit to share these things, it's good. I guess that's another thing. Let's not reduce this to the methods. Rather, be led by the Spirit. And if you're just feeling in your heart, you've prayed, you're like, hey, and your heart's telling you, this guy needs to know he's a murderer or something. You know what I mean? You just share with him from the scriptures, boom, 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 so that he can, you know, be aware of that. And you bring him here. Say, well, you know what? You've been separated from God. The Bible says. The Bible says. The Bible says. All right, so they're convinced of that. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ha! Death. Eternal separation from God, weeping and gnashing of teeth. People don't like to hear that. They say, how could God do that? Well, hey, look, God doesn't send anybody to hell. People go there by their own choice. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so you don't have to go to hell. And so the only way anybody can go to hell is by their own choice. There's no other way to get there. Because God did everything he needed to do to save us from that. The gift of God is eternal life. But God demonstrates his own love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Emphasis on the word for. I always said it funny. You know, the God Christ died for us. Yes, Christ died for us. Yes, Christ died for us instead of us. We hated him. We hated him. We hated his people. I saw a bumper sticker the other day. You know, I confess, last few days I've been riled up about everything. And, you know, I just wanted to get out of the car and jump him. But then that made the bumper sticker right. It said, God, I pray that you would protect me from your followers. You seen that bumper sticker? Yeah, I know. Oh, God's going to have to protect you from me now, you know. But anyway, But while we hated him, while we hated God's people, God loved us. This is a great message. And that no matter how rebellious or how creepy you are or how creepy you feel, God loves you, even though you don't love him. Make sure that in all of this, that in Romans 5:8, that they understand that. See, that's so cool. We can give them these scriptures, but we can explain these scriptures to them as well. God loves you. You don't love God. You don't think Jesus is the Son of God. You don't like God's people. But you know what? That doesn't change the fact that Jesus loves you. And he died for you. And so how do you get saved? What must I do to be saved? Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, salvation. That's it. It's not just confess with your mouth, though, right? And you got to make sure people understand that. So these are good scriptures. Learn the Roman road if you don't know it. Some of you already know this. Most of you maybe already know this. But learn this. This is just truth. And it's easy. It explains the whole gospel. So let's go to the next one, Dan. Click. Okay. That was good. Hard truth. These are, you know, I only gave a few of these. There's a lot of hard truth in the scriptures. One thing that the person needs to understand that we're speaking to is that Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way. I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You first must be born again. Explain to your friend or your family member what it means to be born again. And if you're wondering, well, what does it mean to be born again? Born of the Spirit, where God actually gives you a new heart. And only God can do that. And so, you see, we've all been born of water, as Jesus said. We've all been born of the flesh. And we were born to a sinner. But to be born of the Spirit means to be born of one who is not a sinner. And so we have new life, the Holy Spirit of God living in us if we are born again. And so we need to become his children if we want to go to heaven. Very important, though, that the people understand that, even if their bumper sticker says they were born all right the first time, which they weren't. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay? I don't know what to say about that. That's your interpretation, right? You know, and by the way, you know, and people want to argue with you, and it's so hard not to get into a battle of wits and such, but it never does any good when we do. But the fact is, so many of these scriptures don't give any wiggle room. And if somebody says to you, and this is the one I always bring up, they say, the Bible has so many different interpretations. How do you know yours is right? And I never argue with them about that. I say, you're right. People interpret it differently. Everybody does. Let me pull up a verse for you. And I pull up John 14:6, and I say, here, can you read that to me and tell me what's your interpretation of that? They're stuck. They're really stuck. Matthew 7:13-14, the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. But narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Walk with Jesus, there's life. And it is hard to walk with Jesus in this world. While the world's throwing rocks at you and stuff the whole time. I know these guys were on some ride over there at Six Flags, some water ride, and there you are in this water ride trying to stay dry while you got the likes of Dan and Dave with their water guns at you, and you're trying to get through this, and everybody's just shooting water at you. You know, walking with the Lord, you know, this whole world's just shooting at you the whole time. Yeah, difficult is the way. But He is the only way. Again, it's a difficult, it's a hard truth, but we need to be sharing this. Remember, bad evangelism doesn't do anybody any good. They need to hear the truth. And of course, 1 Timothy 2:5, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Straightforward. So you got those? Those are good to know. Get those in your arsenal. Now, next slide, click. Here's some nice little truths. There's some encouraging things because, you know, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Make sure that, you know, you're sharing with somebody that they know that whoever means whoever and that it doesn't matter where they've been or what they've done. It just doesn't matter. And that God will save anybody. And then John 7, 37, 38. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. This is that thing that you've heard people preach, you know, hey, you know, everybody's got an emptiness in them and only Jesus can fill it. I think they get the idea from this. It's true. There's an emptiness, but some people don't notice that emptiness. Why? They fill it with other things, and they're continually filling it with other things. So I kind of shy away from the cross-shaped hole in the heart method. However, there is truth to it. But this goes back to what I was saying before about Paul going to people who were willing to talk about these things. He says, if anyone thirsts, if it doesn't say, all right, you're all thirsty, some of you don't know it. So you better get it together. No, there's nothing like that. You go find people who are thirsty. These are the ones who will come. Now, just because somebody isn't thirsty doesn't mean you're not going to share with them. But you just share with them the truth and then let it go. But it's the thirsty ones, though. Because this is a great one for you, you know. Because somebody might even tell you, they may come to you and say, well, you're a Christian. I don't know. Can you help me with this? Because I've been feeling real empty. Bing. Well, John chapter 7, you see. This is what Jesus says about your emptiness. This is what Jesus says about your thirst. In Matthew 11, 28. Are you tired? Are you beat up? You tired of this stuff? Well, Jesus says, come to Him and He'll give you rest. That's awesome. That's awesome. Jesus isn't a killjoy. Was that my last slide? Look at that. We did PowerPoint. Jesus. Oh, and there's one more I didn't put on slide number 4. You hear it. This is one of the verses you hear here a lot. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And here's the glory of the gospel in sharing the truth of the scriptures with somebody to say, hey, do you want to start over? What? You can start over. Let there be light. Wait, let there be light. All right. Wait, anyway. Rich and I got a thing going. I think that is one of the greatest things in the world. That you can tell somebody this absolute truth of the fact that they can start over. As if they had never sinned before. That's just the best news. And that was so wonderful. You know, I started out as a baby. Most of you did. And by the time I was 28 years old, I never even thought it would be possible to start over, but I started over. And I was made into a new creation. And so that is a great thing to share with people, the truth of that scripture. Now, if we share such scriptures, this doesn't mean like you take out your notebook and you go talk to your friends. Oh, I got a notebook of all the scriptures I just learned at church. Here, wait, shut up and listen. Wait. No, stop talking. I'm reading them to you. And, you know, one after another. No. But these just have there with you. Have them in your mind. Have them in your heart. And so that when you're talking, boom, this one fits that situation. This one fits. And then when they're saying, what must I do to be saved? You'll know Romans 10:9. If you believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus and the God raised him from the dead, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you'll be saved. Do you believe it? Yeah. Dude, you're saved. Oh, by the way, they don't need to pray that special prayer that somebody made up a long time ago. The sinner's prayer. Somebody made that up. I know why they made it up, and the sinner's prayer is not a bad thing. Covers the bases. In fact, pastor would pray a prayer like that, say, if you ever want to give your life to the Lord, pray a prayer like this. And you've heard me do that as well. And pastor would do that when we first got saved. We started coming to church, but I didn't know we were saved. I never prayed a prayer like that in my life. And so he'd say it, and I'd go ahead and kind of pray it anyway just to cover my bases, make sure I'm saved. But no, the proof is in the life. The proof is in what you truly believe. Not in the words of the prayer that you said. And so, when I pray with people to receive the Lord, all I really do is ask them, I say, do you believe this? You know, and you can see it in their face. I do. And I'll tell them right there before we pray, you're saved. Let's pray, you know, and there we are praying and crying like babies. It's a beautiful thing, but it is believe with your heart, confess with your mouth. That's it. And say this prayer. No, nothing like that. Again, there's nothing wrong with that prayer because it does, you know, whoever made it up, you know, made sure that, okay, repeat this prayer after me, and then you know, you repeat it, and the kind of the whole gospel gets said in that prayer. But anyway, don't be afraid to use the name Jesus. Don't be afraid to use the scriptures that plainly speak the plain truth about life and death. Because that is where the power is. That is where it is. Now, you talk this way to people, you're going to get far less response than you want. But I'll tell you what, this is of my opinion that when you share the plain truth like this, if you do get a response, it's going to be a real one. And I tell you what, I confess to you, I get so bent out of shape over myself because I'm the worst salesman in the world. But as I keep going back and forth. I'm saying, oh, I wish I was a better evangelist. I wish I could get people to respond to the gospel. But then I start thinking, you know what? I'm sharing the truth. And so when they respond, they're going to be responding to the truth, not to my sweet sales techniques. Now, there are some people who do have a gift of evangelism, and you can't help it. They share the truth. And people, everybody gets saved. You know, like Greg Laurie, the guy just talks, shares the gospel, and then everybody gets saved. How does he do that? It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. I do not have that gift. But I do the work of an evangelist, and God has called us all to do the work of an evangelist. And so those are some scriptures. You may have some of your own that help others understand, because there's lots of them throughout the scriptures. Learn the scriptures. Say, oh, I don't have a memory like you, or I don't have it. It doesn't really matter. I think most of us, well, older people, you younger people don't know it, but most of you know the Gilligan's Island theme. You know the Brady Bunch theme. You know a lot of things you're embarrassed that you know. But you know them word for word without any problem. So you do have the ability to memorize. And so I want to encourage you, maybe just, you know, memorize even just this much, not even the words. For instance, just memorize, okay, Romans Road. That's Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9. That's just to know that. And then go back and then just get them. And for scripture memory, there are the three R's of scripture memory. Some of you might know this, some of you might not know this. The three R's of scripture memory: review, review, review. That's it. That's how you do it. And I think the reasons that we don't memorize scripture is because of the time we spend reviewing it or not reviewing it. But it will be the Word of God that does the job. And we'll just go ahead and close there. And we're going to sing to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending your Son. And then calling us, as you called Jesus, as Jesus even said to the disciples, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And so here we are, Lord. And first, we want to confess to you and ask for forgiveness for the fact that we spend a lot of time on ourselves. And as far as being sent as Jesus was sent, oh, I don't know. I don't know how we've done. But Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness. And now we ask you for the encouragement, the power, the strength, the love, your Holy Spirit, to work in us, that we would look around for an open door, speaking truth, that others might come to salvation. How incredible it is, Lord, that you would even use any of us to bring somebody to life. Huh. Lord, thank you so much. That's just amazing to me. Oh, Lord, what was our life before we knew you? It was for nobody but ourselves. We were destined to die alone, with nothing, with no purpose. But, Lord, you poured life into us, and now we can pour life into others. Wow. How wonderful to be chosen of God. We thank you so much. And now we ask you once again to fill us with your Holy Spirit to overflowing. Baptize us in your Holy Spirit, that we would have the power, the ability to be your witnesses, to be your martyrs. And that we'll see people getting saved. And in turn, going out and saving others. We love you so much, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.